This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Emotions aren't always talked about in the police academy, but now they're the focus of a new kind of training. The Middletown Police Department recently hosted a two-day course in racial intelligence training and engagement. The goal is to de-escalate situations, build better community engagement, and prevent deadly encounters. Officers from 9 Ohio departments participated. Here to discuss the training is Wright Academy co-founder and director of training, Randy Friedman, and from the Middletown Police Department, Chief Rodney Muterspall, Lieutenant David Burke, and Officer Shioki Reese. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon.
Randy, let's start with having you tell us about what is the Wright program. What's the primary idea behind this type of training?
So racial intelligence training is, we actually don't talk about race. People think, oh no, it's going to be that typical browbeating cultural diversity training that you're telling me what I'm doing wrong and how do I improve my relations with people. And it's actually not that at all. What we've done is we've created a combination of helping the officers improve their own emotions, called emotional intelligence, combined with social intelligence, which is how do they interact and react to public or anybody besides themselves, which is a combination of those two that actually creates racial intelligence. So the definition is actually the practice of using emotional intelligence, social intelligence, and the right tools that we created to treat myself and others fairly. And the key is to treat myself fairly first. You know, a lot of training out there that falls under the umbrella of cultural diversity has to do with how do I treat others fairly, but it never addresses how about the officer? What are they going through on a day-to-day basis? What are they going through personally? You know, we need to take that all into account. So this course really helps the officer look in the mirror, look at themselves before they hit the streets, realize where they are emotionally. Am I at the top of the ladder? Which we'll discuss what that is, where love, gratitude, and joy live, that makes me feel good, and if I feel good, I treat others good, or do I live more towards the bottom of the ladder than fear are, and if I harbor that long enough, it's going to come out in the public.
So you're saying if you're having a day where you feel really angry or you're in a horrible mood, then you're not going to perform at your best.
It is really hard to. You can mask it for a while, but for, you know, like anybody, if you hold on to anger, frustration, fear, any of the bottom of the ladder emotions, they're negative vibrations, and we're built on energy. So, you know, you can feel somebody's energy when somebody's happy or excited or, you know, loves life. You can see that in a person, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they treat others. And also it's true when they have the opposite effect where they're angry or frustration. It's only going to take, one little snap that's going to push them over the edge and take it out on somebody else.
Chief Muterspall, why was it important for the Middletown Police Department to bring this training and to host this?
Well, because of the climate in America today. I'd heard about this training, and I heard it was pretty innovative, and I got the chance to see it live in action with Randy up at Ohio Chiefs Conference, and I sat through a session, and I was like, man, we got to have this. And if anything, it brings a check and balance into the well-being of the officer who works the street, because the way things are going in America right now, we got to make sure that we do everything right constantly, and we got to make sure that our officers' well-being is kept in check, and it's true emotional intelligence training. I mean, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Burke, what are your thoughts about this training?
We also sent a couple officers to Cleveland for this training, and when they came back and explained the class to us, the chief was real proactive in different types of training, and they said it was beneficial, so this is why we offered to host the class. And like the chief said, you know, officers go through different emotions throughout the day. You have an accident, you may have a serious accident, you may have a death that you have to investigate. And because of that, you know, the officer has to deal with different emotions. By getting those emotions in check through this training, they become a better, well-rounded officer.
Mm-hmm. And Officer Reese, tell us what your thoughts are about this.
I attended the training. It was very informative. It was nice to know that our department was looking out for our emotional needs. I mean, you do firearms training, you do OVI training, but you don't do those every day. Whenever you're out dealing with the public, and like he said, you know, you could go from a barking dog to a fatality. Your emotions are up and down, and sometimes you do need a reminder that the next person I'm dealing with didn't just go through that traumatic series, and you need to kind of calm down before you get out of the vehicle. That way you're not placing that anger on someone that had nothing to do with it.
Randy, what do you think is the problem today with the way officers are trained? What do you see as being the areas that need to be improved?
Truly, the missing link is emotional intelligence. And there are some courses that are given out there that just really scratch the surface. The difference with our classes, we actually give the officer tools to work on. So, I mean, I can motivate the masses till the cows come home, but if I don't give them something to work on beyond the class. So one of the things that we give the officers is the 18-rung ladder of emotions. And it's a way for them to check themselves and see, where am I at any given point during my day? I mean, if we gave that to academy cadets before they got on the streets, before they, you know, at 23, 24, 25 years old, and started to really pay attention to what was going on inside of them, they would realize that their emotions affect others. And that training is missing right now. And we're talking to a couple of states about bringing into the academies, but it's going to take time. You know, right now it's a lot of tactical training. And when we say that, you know, on our website, you know, we can help de-escalate 95% of this, because 5% of the calls, and it's really lower than that, but I'm giving some leeway, 5% of the calls are actually life-threatening to the officer. So if you think about what's around the officer's gun belt, utility belt, those items typically are not used 95% of the time. What is used is the mouth, communication skills. And if we can increase communication skills with the officers, whether you're 23 or 44 or 55, ready to retire, that will help dramatically.
Officer Reese, what do you think about that? Improving communication skills, is that a valuable thing?
Oh, it's 100%. You know, I mean, a lot of times people are visual learners, and they did give us this item to look at. You know, they say put it above your visor, do whatever you got to do in order to just kind of look up and remind yourself, if I'm down here at the bottom and I'm angry, you know, I need, what's it going to take to get me back up to the top? You know, how am I going to fix this problem?
The training involved officers from different departments. How much did they learn from each other? How much of that is going on? And did they share experiences they have on the street as a way of learning?
Yes, well, interestingly, that's actually a great question. I'm going to put that back to either Officer Reese or the chief was in a couple of times. You know, in the very beginning, you got the body language, arms folded, leaning back, or what could you possibly teach me that I don't already know? This is bogus, another training. And after the first half hour to an hour, we get them to relax a little bit and to realize that it's a very safe environment. You're amongst your peers. Everybody wants to help each other. And as the shoulders come down and people start to relax and realize that this is not a browbeating course, this is actually here to help you improve engagement, improve department morale, improve career resiliency, they start to realize, okay, I'm going to start sharing. So, Officer Reese, you can talk better than I can.
Yeah, she's right. I mean, you definitely see the harder people in the room because you've always been taught no emotion. You know, you don't show emotion as an officer. You don't cry. You don't.
You bottle it up.
Oh, yeah. Bottle it up. And then after a while, it starts to come out, and usually not in a good way. So you do have to retrain your brain into thinking, you know, I don't have to bottle it up. I can talk about it. I can let people know that something's bothering me. And that's basically what you see over the 2-day course. You see people starting to put their guard down and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And Lieutenant Burke, I think you wanted to say something about this as well.
Well, even the way the room was structured, I know when Randy came in, we made a U-shape, so nobody can really hide. So everybody has to get involved and interact in the class, which was part of the whole design when we set up the room. And it's a smaller classroom, so it's more open for everybody to interact. So I thought it was great for everybody to get some interaction with other departments.
Can Lieutenant Burke or Officer Reese, can either of you give me like an example of where this would have come in handy when you're out on the streets?
I've been on a couple of traumatic calls, one of them involving a juvenile that passed. You know, it was just, it was a really emotional time. The officers were upset. The squad was upset. And basically, a lot of people didn't talk about it at first, but once you started, you know, conversating between one another and things like that, it did kind of help out a little bit. But you do hold that stuff in, and then eventually you learn to talk about it, and then you get back up to the top of the ladder. You know, you're feeling good about everything. You knew you did what you had to do and what you were able to do. So,
Chief, what are the plans now? You had several officers take part in this. What are you going to do to spread this training to the other officers in the department?
Well, we've had 5 trained, and they're trained the trainer classes. So now they'll come out and they'll train our entire department. That's the plan over 2017 and 18. And hopefully they can train other agencies too who might need that. But it saves us money by doing that, and it saves us time to have our own trainers doing it. And, you know, people expect police to solve their problems every day when, in fact, the officers a lot of times can't solve their own problems. You know, we go through divorces. We have issues at home. So this is just a great tool for that. And hopefully the five that we train will be able to come out and give them the same message that we got from Randy and the Ride Academy.
Yeah. Randy, you know, there's a perception, it might be true, and Officer Reese was talking about this a little bit, that officers are more buttoned up. Are the officers open to this type of training? Have you found this to be something that they welcome?
Yes and no. We call it the 70-30 rule, and I think we got a couple of smiles in the room right now it's because they know what I'm talking about. The 70-30 rule, it pertains to any organization, whether it's police, fire, corporate even. When you train any group of people, there are 70% or 7 out of 10, they're going to love it. They're going to say, oh, man, this is the best thing ever. I've got self-help books up the wazoo. I love working on myself. I love learning, you know, new things so I can help others. And then you flip the coin to the 30%ers. And those are the naysayers, the ones that put everything down. They don't believe anybody but themselves. They are the blamers. They live at the bottom of the ladder. They're very skeptical. They don't give back. And you know, I'm not calling just police. I'm saying every organization has this. And the challenge is that those naysayers or 30%ers, the ones that are always the troublemakers, always in the chief's office or the CEO's office complaining about other people. So they end up giving all of our energy and all of our time. We forget about the proactive people and the 70%ers that really love this stuff. Our mantra is give the energy to the 70%ers. Roll this out whether you think the 30%ers are going to like it or not. Let them be in the class too, because some of them are on the fence. Some of the 30%ers, those naysayers, are on the fence of thinking, man, you know, I don't know how to work on myself. I've never worked on myself. I don't think I need to, but, well, let me listen. So you're always going to get the arms folded back. I don't need this. When is this going to – looking at their watch, looking at their cell phone, when is this going to be over? Just don't like training, period. But if you empower the other officers, the ones that are always the ones that are going to do the right thing, the ones that are always going to show up on time, give extra time to the community, you empower those, the 30%ers are either going to come on board or they're going to find a new home. But it starts at the top. So the Chief Nierswar, is so proactive in the community and with the media. And we had the media outlets come and take a look at what this training is about because he's so proactive. That's going to share more in the community about how good this is for the officers. So the naysayers are slowly going to go away, and they're going to either come on board or they're going to say, okay, this is not for me.
Randy, can you give us a specific example of a technique that you're teaching the officers?
There's so many. I mean, one of them is an energy release that I think Fox News actually, or NBC had covered. They'd shot us doing it. And it's something I learned from my athletics background. So I come from professional athletics. I've played and taught sports for a very long time. And just like an athlete, police officers have to think on their feet. Bad things also happen. Whether you're an athlete or an officer, bad things happen. And if you keep thinking about the bad thing over and over again, eventually your mind is going to think more about the bad. Sorry about that. More about the bad than the good. And there's no doubt in police officer line of work, there's a lot of bad that they see. And we have to be able to get that out of our mind and not keep us up all night. So one of the things that we do is we have them think about an incident or a bad phone call even or a bad meeting with the supervisor and something that they keep thinking about over and over and over again. And they think about it and we have them rub their hands quickly together to create some friction, create some energy. And we literally have them connect the thought to the energy in their hands and release it. And we do it a couple of times so they understand exactly what it is. And we do this in the train the trainer so they can roll it out to the officers in their training. It's pretty powerful. Fun. Honestly, we make the training, I think, fun, because if you're having fun, you're going to remember it.
How many departments have you worked with on this so far?
Oh, over in the two less than 2 years we've been in business, probably over 350.
And you feel like it's
and
having
there's also Chiefs Conference. We've spoken to Ohio Chiefs Conference. We've gone to the Missouri Police Chiefs Conference. So you're talking anywhere from 150 to 500 chiefs. Georgia's the next one we're going to be speaking to. There are 500 chiefs in that one.
And based on what you're saying, you think you're having a positive impact?
We are. We are, because so honestly, you're not going to even come to this kind of training unless you have a little bit of curiosity of how you can improve your officer's well-being. And that's really what this is. This is officer wellness at its finest.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, that you're dealing with the officer's wellness, and as a result, they're going to perform better out on the streets. Chief, what are your hopes for this?
My hopes, it just makes our officers better and more in tune with the community. You know, like I said, because officers go out there every day and they're dealing with problems, and if they're not mentally well, or, you know, look around the country, every time an incident happens, an officer's mental well-being is questioned, you know, emotionally. I mean, can they handle this job? Can they do it? And all we're trying to do is make sure our officers are 100% prepared. And when I saw about the de-escalation tactics and how to calm yourself down in situations, I knew exactly that's what we had to have. And I think we owe it to our officers to do, you know, training for mental wellness, besides tactical things and how to deal with calls. But mental wellness is huge in this line of work. If you're at peak mentally, you're going to do a good job. If you're not, you're not going to do a good job. So we owe it to them to do that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too, that to calm themselves down. You can't de-escalate a situation if you're not calm yourself.
Correct. Right? Yeah, I mean, and that's what this is about. It's about keeping yourself in check. If you're in a bad mood and you get out of that car, you're probably going to – that bad mood is going to carry over on that call, and that's what we don't want to happen.
Yeah. Lieutenant Burke, what are your hopes for this?
I just hope other departments are active like our chief was and reach out and get some emotional training for these officers because – with the heroin epidemic and everything else, officers are dealing with different calls every day, and it's just a chance for them to understand their own emotions and deal with it.
And Officer Reese, what about you? What do you hope comes out of this?
I just hope that all of the officers get something out of it, you know, something positive. That's the goal.
Yeah. Have you had any other departments? I mean, you had, nine departments attend this first one. Are you planning to do anything like this again, or have you had other departments come to you and say, can you help us with this training beyond the nine?
Yeah, we've had other departments reach out. We won't do it again because we've already trained our trainers. So we'll send our trainers out. If other departments need them, we'll loan them our officers to train their officers. That's the whole point of this. But, you know, I've told other chiefs and I've emailed them, and I'll be at the Ohio Attorney General's Conference in this fall, and I'm going to really push the Wright Academy with the attorney's office. And I just think it's a great training. It's something that all officers should go through and be trained in. And it's not fair to train officers just tactically and not emotionally as well. They need that.
Randy, how much interest are you getting in this? Is this growing for you?
It is. It is. You know, there are so many police departments in the U.S. that we can touch. We can't do it alone. That's why we do the train the trainer, because we're actually building team trainers now around the country that will train for us. Chicago is one that we're building out. We've got a couple of officers that have come from the south side of Chicago and are now officers and now bringing it back into the community to share this idea. Because, you know, it's a two-way street, right? You can't just train the officers and say, hey, you guys are bad. You got to work on your emotional intelligence and you got to treat everybody fairly. It's a two-way street. The community also has to realize that the officers are doing the best they can with what they've been given. So we highly recommend when you roll this out to the department, now go invite the community leaders, the religious leaders, and let them know what you're doing. Let the youth know what you're doing. Let the youth understand that the police are not the bad guys. I mean, that's one of the things that breaks our heart right now, is that the police are there to serve and protect, but they're doing the best they can. So we have to give them something like emotional and social intelligence, racial intelligence, give them the tools, but then say, community, hey, look, we're now doing this. Don't take it out on us. We're doing the best that we can, and let's work together. Let's build community trust again.
Do you see a big difference, cultural difference, in various departments depending upon the region and accepting or rejecting these concepts, Randy?
Absolutely. I've talked to many chiefs that have said, we don't have that here. And I have to laugh, because have what? You don't have officers that have stressful home lives or are not dealing with things well, so they are not taking it out on the street. There's no perfect society. There's no perfect culture. And we're a melting pot. The U.S. is a melting pot, and you have to realize that. So we have had, you know, input or from chiefs that, you know, are not proactive, like Chief Munispaugh, who is very proactive, and they're more reactive. They'll react to a situation, and they'll call us in after the fact, and we've had that. We prefer proactive departments, but we'll do both.
You talked about benefits for the police officers who take this training. What are the overall benefits for the community?
Oh, the community, it's huge, because It's now the officers are, let's just say, we neutralize the emotions. And you don't have to be at high where love, gratitude, and joy are, but we don't want you at the bottom of the ladder where anger, frustration, and fear live. So imagine now all the officers, and we kind of did this as a test for corporate. Imagine if every officer walked into the police department thinking, I love my job. I love my chief. The command staff is awesome. This is a great vehicle. Imagine if everything that they worked with, they actually appreciated and were grateful for and loved the community. Now they go into the community and embrace the community. And you've got your programs, Coffee with the Cop, and the talks with the community. But now you're going to the community saying, look what we've done. We actually care so much about you, community, that we've actually worked on ourselves. The community is going to see that as you actually do care about us. See, real quick, it's this three-pronged approach. If you improve officer wellness, you'll build department morale, and you'll improve community trust. It can't go reverse. You can't try and improve the community before you better the department. And that's why this works.
Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Wright Academy co-founder and director of training Randy Freeman, and from the Middletown Police Department Chief Rodney Muterspaugh, Lieutenant David Burke, and Officer Shioki Reese.